I'd say about 10, let's say, 10 out of 400 that Ravnotazal spends hundreds of pages discussing, and this is one of the 10. There's a tremendous, tremendous quantity of practical information here in this chapter on the Likutei Moharan. Number one, about the mitzvah of tzedakah. Number two, a very, very deep discussion about emunah, understanding what our emunah is supposed to be, to what extent we're supposed to have emunah, and about the kiddush of the holidays, the Yomim Tovim. Interestingly, right now we're up to the holiday of Sukkot. We're about to start the Yontif of Sukkot. We're going to have a lot of information on that in here. Rabbeinu Zal started off basing this Torah on a pasuk, where the pasuk says that Hashem sent ravens to provide for Eliyahu HaNavi, and Rabbeinu Zal stresses the point about the mitzvah of tzedakah, that the true mitzvah of tzedakah is when it involves a person showing an achzorius on himself, when it involves a person showing a meanness, a cruelty upon himself by subtracting from himself to give to somebody else. And then Rabbeinu Zal had a long discussion about the concept of beginning, about how the beginning is the most difficult time. And Rabbeinu Zal said this is why the union of tshuva, or making a beginning in coming close to Hashem, is so difficult, because any beginning you have to break, you have to build a foundation and dig and make an opening and a roadway and all the difficulties involved. So that's why beginning in general is very hard. And Rabbeinu Zal says the mitzvah of tzedakah, the word tzedakah is synonymous pretty much with beginning. Because just as beginning is a concept of opening up new passages, new passageways, so too the mitzvah of tzedakah is a union of pasayach tiftach. The wording in the pasuk which teaches us about giving tzedakah is open up your hands. And the word open is used twice. Open, open. The Gemara learns out from that, afilo me'apamim, that the reason why it's written twice is because we know the minimum of a plural is two. So when the Torah tells us open, open, it means go big, give a lot. So we see that the mitzvah of tzedakah itself is referred to by this term open. So we know that if the opening line, the beginning is difficult, then the mitzvah of tzedakah must be a difficult mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Zal says the most difficult part of the mitzvah of tzedakah is the opening, the beginning of giving tzedakah. That's the most difficult part, because that's where it involves this concept of es ha'orvim, breaking a certain cruelty within yourself, imposing a certain cruelty upon yourself to be able to give more than you would normally want to that degree. And Rabbeinu Zal says, that's why the beginning of tzedakah is very difficult, period. That was what we had up till now.
Just, I didn't understand from that, what we learned this week, exactly what is there about tzedakah that makes life?
Right. The terminology of pasayach tiftach. The fact that the Torah uses that verb specifically about giving, it could have said nosan titein, which it does say. The fact that the Torah applies this additional verb using this word, open an opening, by tzedakah, and it doesn't use it by other mitzvahs, shows that, not that the other ones are not openings, because he says beferish that they are, but that this mitzvah, the whole being of the mitzvah, one of the whole purposes of this mitzvah is to open openings. And Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes that that's why this mitzvah, whereas other mitzvahs, we don't say combine tzitzis and mikvah, we don't use that kind of wording, we do use the wording of combining tzedakah with almost any other mitzvah that you want to do. Tefillah, this, that, always tzedakah added onto it. Why? Because Rabbeinu Zal explains that every mitzvah, the purpose of a mitzvah is to create a pathway to bring you close to Hashem. The item which is most adept at creating pathways, at opening openings, is tzedakah. So either it'll help open the door, open an entranceway for you, or if there is an entranceway, it'll widen it for you. Period. Such is the nature of tzedakah. Now again, this is Likutei Moharan. We go into the Likutei Halachos and the other Sforim. We're going to learn much, much more about what this means in practical terms, etc. Now we're laying groundwork in a lot of concepts that Rabbeinu Zal is going to present.
Money living on an item which they need for a
We're going to have that also. I don't know if Rabbi Elazar brings it in this Torah. There's a pasuk that says v'noik sayich b'tzdoko, and there's a Tosfos in Moreh Basra where Tosfos learns out that from here we learn out that even the money, the taxes that a Jew has to pay to the Goyish government, that's also classified as a type of tzedakah, in a sense. So that there are many things that we wouldn't necessarily assume fit into the category of tzedakah, and yet they are referred to as a type of tzedakah. For that, we have to learn. There's a Gemara, there's a Shulchan Aruch with Hilchos Tzedakah, which shows us the width and depth and length and breadth of tzedakah. There's a lot that we don't know about it. Okay, let's continue. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ach hatoyeles shel hatzdokah godol ma'oid ma'oid." You should know that the purpose of tzedakah, the function of tzedakah, is very, very great. Ki hatzedokah ma'ilas tomid. Tzedakah always helps a person. And now Rabbi Nizal is going to explain specifically what he's referring to. Ki tzorchei haguf heim rabim ma'oid. You should know. Now note, the fact that Rabbi Nizal is telling us this is a comfort. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that the needs of the body are many. The body needs many, many things. The body needs food. The body needs drink. The body needs a bed to sleep on. The body needs grooming. It needs a haircut, a shower, a bath. The tzrochim, or the guf, are many. Number one, va'afilu ha'hechrochios heim rabim u'gedoylem ma'oid. And even the most meager things that a person must have to get along with, heim rabim u'gedoylem ma'oid, are very, very many. If you want to add up just the basic living expenses, the most simple living expenses, it's still an incredible amount. Achila, ushtia, food and drink, umalbushim and clothing, vidirois and a residence, a place to live in, sheyecholin levalois yomo vishonov afilo al hechrochis levad. It would be possible for a person to give away his whole life just in trying to maintain the needs of the body, the basic needs of the body. A person could work 8 hours a day, 15 hours a day, just to maintain the body. And when he's not working, he's eating. And when he's not eating, he's sleeping. And it's a vicious cycle on just maintaining the guf. And these items can hold back a person tremendously from being able to serve Hashem. A person gets involved in providing for the guf, for the body, to such an extent that it holds him back from serving Hashem with the neshama. Although in actuality, all of these items, eating, drinking, sleeping, purchasing clothing, all of these items are also a form of serving Hashem. Kihem bechinas isarusa de lasato. They are a concept of an arousal from below. We have this term in the Zohar Kodesh called isarusa de lasato and isarusa de leila. That generally nothing in heaven takes place without it being instigated here on earth. And it's the motions, the physical motions that a Jew makes in this world that determine what goes on in heaven. Even to the extent that if a Jew eats, he affects different things in heaven. If he eats like a goy, chas v'sholem, if he eats without making a brocho, or if he eats what he's not permitted to, he causes destruction in heaven. If he eats the way he's supposed to, he causes tremendous tikkunim in heaven itself. So Rabbi Nizal says, although these items, eating and drinking and going to work and sleeping, all of these items are also a manner of serving Hashem, because they fall into the category of isarusa de lasato. The Zohar Kodesh says that through our physical deeds here on this earth, we cause an arousal in heaven. Through all the actions and different types of work that a person does in this world, the person causes to be aroused in heaven the form of that act, of that malacha that he's doing within the creation of the world. We know that we say in the tefillah every day, uvetuvoy mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis, that every single day there is a new creation that takes place. What affects the exact manner in which that creation takes place, according to the deeds of the human beings in this world, they affect the different malachos that take place kaviyachol in heaven.
This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says. So according to the physical actions of people on this world, it actually affects an arousal of a certain form of work in heaven that was participating in the Maisa Bereishis. And the person is able to bring a life and a light into the form of that act as it took place in the creation of the world in heaven. The act which corresponds to the physical act that the person is doing in this world. In other words, Rabbein Azal is making it very clear here, this is not his own Chiddush. He's quoting the Zohar HaKadosh on this, that based on the different physical functions that a person performs in this world, he causes to be aroused in heaven the different physical acts that were related to Maisa Bereishis. Now, what does this actually do? We obviously don't understand this. This isn't simple. This is something that the Zohar HaKadosh talks about, whereby we affect certain malachos taking place in heaven. What's achieved by these malachos? What gets built? What gets accomplished? When we'll get a little smarter and more learned, we'll understand. But for now, this is what we're being told, that by a human being's, by a yid's physical actions in this world, he can cause a hisayrus lamala of the tzir, of that corresponding uvda of my sabereshis. Rabbein Azal says, through the work that a person does in this world, he creates, he builds a mishkan, a residence for Hashem. Ki kol hamalachos klulim balametes malachos shehem avos malachos. All the different types of physical work that a Jew does in this world are basically found within the 39 basic forms of work that are discussed related to the malachas of Shabbos, the types of work that are forbidden on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, avos mechlal dikotildos. Once we use the terminology 39 parent works, parent types of work, it automatically implies that there are children, there are subdivisions under these. Rabbein Azal says, Ki kol mine malachos vasokim shoisim kulam klulam balametes malachos shem ha'avos. All the different forms of work that a human being does in this world, whether it be related to eating or drinking or sewing or cooking or baking or building or creating fire or ice, whatever it is, all of these things are nichlal, are subdivided into the 39 major malachos, which are called avos. V'hashar hein toldos, and all the other different types of work are children under these parents. V'lametes malachos hein keneged malachos hamishkan, k'may sham razal. The Gemara says in Shabbos, why do we have 39 types of work specifically that are forbidden on Shabbos? We learn it out from a pasuk where Shabbos is placed next to the building of the Mishkan. And we know that in the Mishkan there were 39 different types of labor that were performed. So basically we have these 39 categories of work. So all the different types of work that a person does in this world basically fall into these 39 categories. The Gemara says the 39 malachos that we have that are forbidden on Shabbos, what does it correspond to? It corresponds to the work that was done in the Mishkan. Note, the word keneged means it corresponds. There's a corresponding effect. The Tikkuni Zohar says that the form, the architecture that existed within the Mishkan corresponded to the architecture of Maisa Bereishis. What does this mean exactly? We don't understand. This is an item that the Zohar HaKadosh explains, that the architecture, the format of the Mishkan corresponded to the format of Maisa Bereishis. V'tziyura de gufo, k'tziyura de mashkano. And the Tikkuni Zohar also says that the form of our body corresponds also to the form of Maisa Bereishis. Now let's say for starters, we know that the Gemara tells us that what did Hashem use as the blueprint for the creation of the world? The Torah. That was the terminology that Rebbe Zal always used to use. Blueprint. Blueprint was the Torah. The Torah has 613 mitzvahs. Corresponding to that, we have the 613 parts of the body. So we already see an association, a correspondence between the guf and Maisa Bereishis, that there is an association between these two things. Because Maisa Bereishis was through the Torah is 613 parts, the guf is 613 parts. Nimtza, so what do we derive from this? What do we see from this? Shalidei ha'odom she'oise hamalacha v'ha'esef. Through a Jew, a human being, doing a certain act of work on this world, al yidei ze nase b'chinas mishkan. He creates a concept of a mishkan. In a spiritual sense, he has the power to affect a heavenly mishkan. Kisha'isa hamalacha v'ha'isa koroi. When he does the act of work as he's supposed to do it, when he does it with the right kavana, that he's doing it for the sake of serving Hashem, to be zeicha to earn money, which he can give for tzedakah, to serve Hashem, to buy a lulav, an esrei, different things, he actually builds a mishkan through his gashmiyistika type work. And through this, a person is given the power to actually give chius and light to the act, to the creation of the world. And this is what keeps the world going. Nimtza. So what do we see from this? Shegam zeh hu avodas haboirei. That we can't minimize the physical work that a person does in this world, like the work that a person does for parnosa and things like that. That is definitely also classified as avodas haboirei. So Rabbi Nizal started off saying that tzedakah is very, very important. Why? Because you should know that what a person has to go through in this world just to support, just to maintain the body, even the hechrochias, the things that you must have, that you can't do without, are many, incredible amount. And even if and a person could sometimes whittle away a whole life just going through the motions that's needed for the simplest maintenance of the guf. And these things can prevent a person from being able to serve Hashem. Although you should know, in reality, these things are also a form of serving Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal went off on a whole tangent explaining that. Because the 39 types of work that exist in this world correspond to the Mishkan. And when a person does work in this world, he builds a Mishkan. And the Mishkan corresponds to Maisa Bereishis. And the person himself corresponds to Maisa Bereishis. So that when a person in this world does work the proper way, the way that he's supposed to, he actually builds a mishkan, and he also gives chiyas to Maisa Bereishis, and he affects the kiyum ha'ilam. So you should know that this is all very important, and it is avodas haboirei. However, afal pikein, but with all of that, im hoya shefeya aleinu chazdoi, if the kindness of Hashem were shining down on us the way it's supposed to shine down, lo hayinu tzrichin lechol zeh, we wouldn't need all of this. We wouldn't need the building of the mishkans. We wouldn't need the 39 malachos. We wouldn't need any of this. Ki haloi eich bora Hashem yisbar. Why? You might ask. We just said that nothing can happen upstairs without a motion on our part. That bisarusa de lesato isar de leila. So you might want to ask. You might want to ask that. So Rabbi Nizal says, I'll answer you with a question. Ki haloi eich bora Hashem yisbarach es kol ha'olam kulay. How did Hashem create this whole world and everything? Achara hedar hagomur. But right immediately following, nothing, complete nothingness. In other words, when it came to Hashem creating the world originally, was there any Isarusa de Lesato? The answer is definitely not. No way. There was Hedar Hagomor, which means simple nothing, complete nothingness. Shalayhoyo Shum Havayo Shei Al Yodo Isarusa de Lesato. There was nothing in existence that should be able to generate an Isarusa de Lesato. V'afal Pikein Boro Oilomo Iskaelu. And still, Hashem was able to create worlds, whole worlds, like the worlds that we learn about. The Olam Ha'asiyah, the Olam Ha'yitzirah, Bria, and all of these things. V'hakoyel b'chazdoi, and all of this was created through the chesed of Hashem. B'li yisarusa de lesato klal, without warranting any yisarusa de lesato whatsoever. B'bechinas, as the pasuk says, oilom chesed yibone, that the world is built on chesed, that there's a concept of being able to build a world on chesed, on out of kindness, not out of any, based on any deeds of any people, purely an act of kindness on the part of Hashem. And once we've established this fact that Hashem was able to create all of these worlds without any initiative on our part, without any initiating act on our part whatsoever, he was able to build it just through his chesed alone, then certainly More so, we must say that the maintenance of the world can certainly run on the chesed of Hashem. Because those who are familiar, you want to buy a computer, it costs $2 million. To maintain it is $2,000 a month. The creation, the haschala, is always much, much more than the maintenance. So if we say that the haschala, there was enough energy, there was enough nuclear power to be able to create everything just based on the chesed of Hashem alone without any isarusa de lesato, certainly how much more so we must be positive in the fact that Hashem is able, that there's enough chesed by Hashem to be able to maintain the world just on chesed without isarusa de lesato, without involving us and getting involved in these 39 malachos which build a mishkan and correspond to the tzior of the bereshis. And if the chesed of Hashem were flowing in its proper manner, we would not have to do any form of physical work whatsoever. And even the most basic needs of a person, the things that a person must have to exist on, basic food and things like that, even that could be provided via other people. The Jew himself would not have to go through any physical motion to provide for himself. It would be provided via others. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Hanavi, that there's going to come a time when v'omdu zorim v'ro tzaynchem. There's going to come a time when strange people are going to come, strangers, outsiders are going to come, and they are going to shepherd your sheep for you. And strange people will be the ones to take care of your plows and take care of your vineyards. V'atem koyhane Hashem tikoreu. And you, the Jews, will be called the koyhanim of Hashem. You'll be kohen. You'll all be priests. A priest doesn't do any physical work. He's one who's supported by the others, by the outsiders. So we see that the Torah does say that there could exist such a metzias of the person of the Jew not having to do any work for himself whatsoever. Even the hechrachias would be provided via outsiders. Rabbein Azal says, "Koyhane Hashem daika." Note what pasuk does the word what word does the pasuk use to describe a person who is zeichet to have things provided from him as freebies through the kindness of Hashem? We're called koyhanim. Vatem koyhanim. Why? Rabbein Azal says, "Koyhane Hashem daika." Bechinas chesed. Kohen corresponds to chesed. Kohen is chesed, Levi is gevura, Yisrael is teferes. We said this many, many times according to Kabbalah. So we see that the pasuk va'atem kohen Hashem tikru implies that you'll be zeichet to draw on the pure chesed of Hashem, not on the fairness, on the mishpat of Hashem. Mishpat is you work, you get paid. You don't, no tiki, no washi. You don't work, you don't get paid. You'll be able to draw on the chesed of Hashem, which doesn't require the Yidden will be called Koyhane Hashem Bechinas Chesed, implying that the Yidden at that point will be hooked up solidly to the Chesed of Hashem. She'ein tzrichem la'aseis shum malocha. There will not be any necessity whatsoever for doing any physical work. Rak ha'ilam neskayim b'chazle kanal. The world will be maintained through the Chesed of Hashem. So we see that there could exist such a possibility. Rabbein Azal says, "Ach, kishahchesed nisakev chas v'shalom." It's only when the kindness of Hashem is being held back. We started off this paragraph that when the chesed is shoyfeya properly, that's when all of this can happen that we just said. But when the chesed is being held back, ve'ein mashpia aleinu chazdoi, and Hashem is not shining upon us His chesed, His kindness, then the person is required to do physical deeds in order to fill this need for Isarusa de Lesato. Why? Rabbein Azal says, this is all hinted to in a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Ulecho Hashem HaChesed. To you, Hashem, is kindness. To you, Hashem, belongs kindness. Ki ato tishalim liish kema'aseihu. Because you pay a person according to his deeds. Watch Rabbi Nizal's interpretation of this. Hainu, Rabbi Nizal explains, Kishah chesed nis'akev etzlo yisborach, when the kindness of Hashem is being held up by Hashem, meaning Hashem is keeping his chesed in his own pockets, let's say. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Ulecho Hashem hachesed, when the chesed, when your kindness is still by you, it's being held on to by Hashem, then Shah chesed nis'akev etzlo yisborach, ve'ein mashpia aleinu, and he's not shining it down on us, azai then ki ato tishalim li'ish kema'asehu. Hainu, kifi ho'asiyois ho'asokim sho'ise, according to the action and labor that the person performs, kein hu yisporach mishalim, that's how Hashem responds to him. He makes a move, Hashem makes a move. He makes three moves, Hashem makes three moves. Hashem matches isarusa de la'elo to isarusa de la'sato. Why? Machmas shehachesed nis'akev etzlo yisporach, because the kindness is being held up by Hashem. Ve'enoy mashpia aleinu, when he's not shining down on us. So that's the interpretation, that's how Rabbeinu Zal translates this pasuk. Ulecho Hashem hachesed, when the chesed is by you, then the procedure that's followed is ki ata tishalim lishkema aseyu, that you pay a person according to his deeds. That's mishpat. You make a move, I make a move. You are good, I'm good. You are bad, I'm bad. Avol, but im hoyo mashpia aleinu hachesed, if Hashem were shining his chesed on us in its full measure, lo hayinu tzrichin la'aseis klal, then we would not have to do any physical motion whatsoever, any physical labor whatsoever. Va'azai hoyoniskayin, then the pasuk would become a kuyum, ki ato tishalim le'ish, kima'aseihu. Now we have a second translation. Ki ato tishalim lish kima'aseihu ki'ilu hu oiseh. The word ki, many times in Hebrew, means as though. Ki ato tishalim lish, you provide for a person kima'aseihu, as though the person had done something, as though the person had worked and earned it, you provide for him. Ki ein tzrich la'aseis klal. When it gets to that point, when the chesed of Hashem is shayfeya in its full measure, then there's no need whatsoever for any action on our part. Kishe shayfeya chasdei kanal. When Hashem's chesed is shining down, as we explained before.
Two things. First of all, doesn't this run a little differently than you explained at another time, where you said that, of course, it sometimes is the beginning, initial outpouring of chesed on the part of Hashem, like by Mitzvah Mitzrayim, but afterwards Hashem expects us to take over with the form of Isarus Vilsatos. So can't we say the same thing related to Maaseh Bereishis?
Any comment on that? Can we say the same thing about Maaseh Bereishis?
In other words, that first there was this initial burst of chesed, but then there's supposed to be Isarusa Vilasata afterwards.
Any comments?
Is this connected to the miracles? I mean, initially it was Yesh Miayim, and after that it's Yesh Miyesh.
Sort of. One second.
That was the whole thing out of the Bria. But there was no Isarusa Vilasata.
Right. Rav Nosson Zal talks about this a lot in Likutei Halachos. He quotes from the Sifrei Kabbalah that that's one of the main reasons why there was a Shvira Sakelim, why Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, all because of the fact that it was a binyan that was built without Isarusa de Lesato, it could not have a kiyum. So too, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was a Yitzia. The Jews went out of Mitzrayim through a Bechin of Shaloi Keseder, through an Isarusa de Lela only, it could not have a kiyum. There had to be a Golos after it. Whereas the Geula La'osid Lavoi, which will be via Isarusa de Lesato, it will be via our deeds to an extent, that's what's going to substantiate it, that's what's going to allow it to have a kiyum. So Mitzadechod, it's definitely true that Rabbeinu Zal doesn't mention that here, because he's talking to Mikubolim, he's talking to people who know that the fact is, we all know that in a way, that's what made the Bria defective in a sense, the fact that it wasn't. But, no chalamaisis, it did take place. There was a Bria, there was a creation with all of this action and everything, without Isarusa de Lesato. So you see that there could be such a thing. Now note, in the Bria itself, we have a pasuk. That even in the story of creation, it tells us that everything was on hold until Isarusa de Lesato, until Adam Arishon had to say his tefillah. But On the other hand, we find many, many references in the Gemara and in the Sifrei Kabbalah that the Bria, the Yesh Me'ayin, was a purely out of the Chesed of Hashem. In other words, it was without the Issa Ruzid
Lasata. Could it be possible that
Ravanus
was trying to shift us away from the Issa Ruzid Lasata of, say, working to another form of Tefillah, for example, where that's also a form of Issa Ruzid Lasata?
No. Let's not make our own things here. In other words, for right now, he's describing that a person's needs in this world are very, very many, and it could take up your whole life and everything, and you should, and that's also Avodas Hashem. However, you should know there does exist a potential, a metzias by Hashem, of being able to provide for us without any action on our part whatsoever, purely out of the chesed of Hashem. The concept of the Atem Kohani Hashem Tikru, if the chesed of Hashem were flowing the way it's supposed to flow.
But when Rabbeinu Gal is going to explain to us, so it's not something desirable for you.
What's not desirable?
To create such a state because it's a
wrong. Papa, no. In other words, if he's saying this, here he seems to imply that just the opposite, that this is the peak of perfection in a sense, when we can get the chesed of Hashem flowing enough, how? We're going to see soon how you get that to happen. That daika happens by an esarusid l'sato. That there's given enough of an esarusid l'sato to turn on the heavenly force that's so powerful, with such power, that there becomes no need any longer for there to be esarusid l'sato. At that point, the chesed is flowing so solidly that it doesn't require physical work, and we can dedicate ourselves completely to ruchnius, as we're going to explain much more.
Is it the statement that there were some people who succeeded in being able to just learn Torah?
Correct. The Talmidim, Rav Moshe Zalman Kotel Halachos, compares this to the machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. That's this debate of whether you need Yisraelus or Masat or not. The answer is that there are certain tzaddikim. This Torah is going to be referring to the Talmidei Rav Shmuel Yechoizal, who was zeichet to such a high level of Kiddusha, where they were zeichet to this manrego of the Atem Kohani Hashem Tikru. Literally, they were Kohanim, they were priests, they were totally separated from the Am. They were zeichet to be Kodesh Lashem. That's the word.
That's
safer. The Ramchal's approach to the discussion of the Gaul on this that we don't necessarily accept that completely. But it was his teachings are based on a combination of the Limudim of Kabbalah plus a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of the Derech of the Rambam, which we don't necessarily, not chas v'shalom, that we make light of it, but we generally follow a different approach, a little bit than that. So that basically, if you look in the Gemara, the Gemara says in Shabbos that if the Jews will keep two Shabbos, in other words, so you see that there is this concept being emphasized in the Gemara and the Chumash throughout the Torah, that if the Jews will do this and this, Mashiach will come. If, how is the Mashiach? The Gemara says in Shabbos, Tzion Bamish Batipode V'Shaveh B'Tztaka. That when is Mashiach going to come? From Tztaka. In other words, the Gemara seems to be stressing that the desired way is that we should make our more. Could be he's mentioning that there does exist a metzias, that even if the world is Rishon, Hashem could still bring it. Could be that's what he's saying. You understand? Either Kulei Zakai or Kulei Chayev. Yeah, 100%. But I'm saying basically, the Derech of the Gemara, the Derech of the Torah is to say that we want to make a move to bring it about.
But I just want to, based on this,
This pasuk Olam Chesed Yibonah, what is it written about? Past or future? Future. Yibonah will be built. Yibonah, Tibonah, Yibonah. He will be built. You understand? So the answer is, again, let's learn. We have a lot to learn.
Glenn DeBria, but don't you say that Hashem looked into the future and saw the mighty of the kingdom, and that's not considered?
No, because it didn't really happen yet. You understand? He looked into the future and he saw that there would be tzaddikim who would be doing mitzvahs, and on that basis, but Issarut L'Sata implies something is done, that without us making a move here, nothing can happen up there. And that's not true. There wasn't a move at that time. Now Rav Enizal says, now you see, in each paragraph there, he's laying groundwork. He's giving us concepts, things you should know about Hashem, about the world, about us, about how it all fits together. So he mentioned that there could exist a metzius of a person being zeicher to generate a flow of the chesed of Hashem to such an extent where the person would not require isarus l'lasat at all. He wouldn't have to get involved at all in the 39 malachis whatsoever. Rabbi Nezal says, ach tzorech lekabel hachesed b'hadrogo. You should know, in other words, you would think once you get this faucet turned on to its fullest, everything is great. Rabbi Nezal says, no, not necessarily. Because you have to be very careful. Chesed is a form of light. When you're taking in light, you have to be very careful to be able to take it in with the right amounts, with measured amounts. Ki roiv hachesed yefsher lekabel. Because too much chesed, too much kindness, a person can also not withstand. A person can't handle. Ki hayu betelin b'metzius machmas roiv hachesed. Because a person can actually become, can burst from too much kindness. As the Gemara tells us this, ki ein yecholon lekabel roiv toivo. The Gemara says in Tainus that there does exist a concept. For example, rain is a symbol of shefa. The Gemara says there is a concept. The Gemara tells a story of a rabbi who was davening for rain, and it started pouring so much that it looked like the whole city was going to be flooded. So we see that there is a concept of roiv toivo, where too much chesed is also. Because you can't just say, turn the faucet on, turn it on all the way, because you flood the whole house. So you bust the pipe, the plumbing system, rachmana litzlan, whatever it is. In other words, in physical terms. V'tzorech la'asais keli v'tzinor lekabel al yodaya chesed. Therefore, a person must create a vessel and a pipe into which to receive the kindness of Hashem. V'zeh na'aseh al yidei yirah. The pipe, the vessel in which is contained the kindness of Hashem, the name of that vessel is yirah, fear of Hashem. Fear of Hashem is what serves as the keli or the tzinor, the vessel or the pipe into which to pour into the kindness of Hashem, so that the kindness should be able to be used for good, not for destruction. Rabbi Nezal says, ki al yedei yira, because through fear of Hashem or fear of Talmidei Chachamim, nase chakiko v'tzinor lekabel al yodei achesed. Through fear is created an opening. There's carved out an opening or a pipe into it, through which a person can receive the kindness of Hashem. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, u'mechaykek mibein raglov. Mechaykek is miloshin chakika, to carve out, to etch out an opening or a vessel, a container, mibein raglov. Where does it come? From between the person's feet. Rabbi Nezal says, regel hu bechinas yira. The feet represent fear of Hashem. Shehi bechinas soif. Fear of Hashem in the Torah is called the end, the last item, the bottom line. The bottom line is fear of Hashem, which corresponds to the feet. Kemoi shekosuv, as the pasuk says at the end of Koheles, soif dovor hakol nishmo esolikim yarei. That the last word is fear Hashem. So we see the last, which means the bottom, the feet, refers to fear of Hashem. Note, al pi Kabbalah, the feet are Malchus. Malchus is Yira. Il mole mayro'o shel Malchus ishes rei yochayim baloi. Hainu, shal yidei Yira, through fear. Shehi bechinas regel, which is a concept of the feet, naase chakiko v'tzinor lekabel b'soicho yisachesed. There is etched out, an etching, a receptacle into which a person can receive the kindness of Hashem. This is the symbolism that the pasuk means when it says, "Vehine porach mate aharon lebeis Levi." The stick of Aaron HaKohen blossomed forth of the Shevet Levi. Aaron HaKohen, who came from the Shevet Levi. Rabbi Nezal says, "Hainu shehachesed bechinas aharon, kindness." Which is represented by Aharon HaKohen. Kohen always is a symbol of kindness. Tzorech lekabloi al yedei hakeli. It must be received via the keli. Shehu bechinas yira, which is fear. Sitro de Levi. That's the concept of Levi. Levi represents gevura, fear of Hashem, din, judgment. This is what David HaMelech means when he says in Tehillim, "Begevurois, within the harshness of Hashem, Yesha Yeminoi, will come forth the kindness of Hashem, the right side." So we see that these two can never be one without the other. Rabbi Nezal says that if a person were zeichet to be able to turn on this flow of chesed of Hashem, too much chesed is no good also. So the chesed must, if the chesed is without boundary, you should know it's going to cause destruction. It's going to wreak havoc. You must be able to put boundaries on this chesed. How do you create a keli, a pipe, into which to contain this chesed so that it should be used only constructively, not destructively? The keli, the tzinor, is yira, fear. That's what serves as the keli or the tzinor into which to receive the chesed. A billion percent. The whole Likutei Maran, or the whole study of Judaism, basically refers to these two concepts, these two extremes, Chachma and Malchus, Torah and Tefillah, Chachma and Emunah, Chesed and Gevura. Also, and that's another form of it, because Chachma is Bechinas Chesed, it's on the right side, Malchus is Dina de Malchus on the left side, Gevura. Everything, it's always Shalom, Oise Shalom, Emremo, Viasa Shalom. It's always a making peace between the right and the left, bringing together the right and the left to bring forth a Tiferes, a Pe'er, a Sparus. That's the whole limud of Breslov, for sure. Lev Bosor, what is the lev? The lev is tefillah. Shifchi kamayim libech mechach b'nei Hashem. Pour out your heart in tefillah like water. And the lev is also lamed beis nesivus hachachma, the 32 paths of wisdom. Lev chacham liyaminai, lev ksil lismailai. Everything always combining these two items. One without the other is zero. A person who says he wants to have his spiritus in tefillah all day, that's not Breslov. It's not Breslov, because there's a pasuk that says, "Meisir oznoi mishmoya teira gam tefilosai teiva chas v'shalom." That a person who turns away his ears from study of Torah, his tefillah is rejected by Hashem. It's despised, because tefillah is malchus. Tefillah is a woman. A woman on her own is zero. A woman is only something when she has a husband. The woman is the keli. The husband is the mashpia. When these two are brought together, that's when it becomes an item of beauty, and that's why if you study the Shrochi Haran, reading about Rabbi Nezal's coming close to Hashem, or if you study Rabbi Nosson Zal's way of life, or the whole Breslov way of life, or the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that it's always or the Gemara, it's always bringing together these two items, Chachma and Malcha, Chachma and Tefillah, both items. Next. Now Rabbi Nezal says, the Iker, now, okay, so far we know that what we're trying to do is generate this super, super chesed. But we were warned already that the chesed alone is dangerous. You must have a yira into which to receive the chesed. Now, how do we get to this yira? Rabbi Nezal says, V'ikar ha-yira nas al yedei hizgalus ha-rotzayim. How is a person zeichet to fear Hashem properly? What generates fear? We know, let's talk in gashmias, let's talk in simple terms. When you have a king who wants to gain the respect of the people, how does he do it usually? By issuing a decree. If he issues a decree, he states that he wants something done, and he shows that he's capable of carrying out whatever he wants to do, no matter how difficult it seems. He says, "I want a city built in a week." He gives a decree, he issues his ratzayin, he declares his desire, I request that this and this be done. And people see that it's a wild thing, it's an incredible thing that he's asking that it should get done. And it gets done. There's nothing better than that that imposes a fear or a respect upon the people. That's what gives them a respect for this person, that they see he's in a position to say, to issue a declaration, I declare that this gets done, and immediately it gets done. That kind of thing. Rabbi Nezal is going to explain this now, kaviyochol, in terms of Hashem. That when we want to know in what manner does Hashem impose his fear upon us, how can a person be zeichet to draw the fear of Hashem upon himself? It's by a person getting to understand, getting to visualize, or to feel, or to experience, or to see, kaviyochol, a revelation of the rotzayin of Hashem, that Hashem requests Hashem declares that something should get done, and it gets done, and it's a fantastic item that he requests. It's shaloi kederach hateva. It's against the rules of nature. That imposes a fear upon the world, upon Jews, of Hashem, a fear of Hashem, as Rabbi Nizal is about to explain. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'ikar hayiro nas al yidei hisgalus harotzayim." The true level of fear of Hashem is only brought about via a revelation of the rotzayim of Hashem. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, beferish in Tehillim, rotzayim yireyov yase, that through rotzayim yireyov. That how does a person zeichet to a yiro? Through Ratzayim, through a revelation of Ratzayim. Rav Nachman Shigurinzal explains, Ratzayim Yireyov Yaseh. Hashem fulfills the Ratzayim of those who fear Him. Why? Because we just said, how does a person get to fear of Hashem? Through a revelation of Ratzayim, right? That's how this person was zeichet to achieve his fear of Hashem, through a revelation of the Ratzayim of Hashem. Therefore, such a person who was zeichet to see such a revelation of the Ratzon of Hashem, when he wants something, Hashem is quick to do what he wants. Because this person was zeichet to be masig a hisgalus of the Ratzon of Hashem, a revelation of the Ratzon of Hashem. That's a side point. Rabbi Nizal says now, Shayidei hisgalus harotzai nasa hayira. Through a revelation of the rotzain of Hashem, that's what causes yira, fear, to be imposed upon the Yidden. Hainu al yidei shenizgale. Now Rabbi Nizal defines what he means by rotzain. Al yidei shenizgale. Shehakol misnaheg beritzaino yisborach. Through a revelation of the fact that everything in this world is dictated by Hashem, is controlled by Hashem, and nothing happens without Hashem wanting it to happen. Ki hu yisborach bora hakol beritzaynoi b'li shum chiyuv kalal. Because Hashem created everything out of His own desire, out of His own willpower, without being required or obligated in any way to go ahead with creation. Umechaya umechaya hakol beritzaynoi yisborach b'in shum chiyuv hativi kalal. And Hashem maintains this whole creation all by Himself, without any assistance from any outside force, and without any dictation by any power of nature whatsoever. Al yidei zeh namaseh yira. That's what imposes fear of Hashem upon the people. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki azai yesh schar v'oinish. Because once the desire of the Creator has been revealed, now there comes into being a concept of reward and punishment. Reward and punishment could only exist once I have stated what I want should be done. Until the king notifies the people of what manner, what path he wants them to take, what he wants them to do, what he doesn't want them to do, there's no concept of reward and punishment. It's only once he has declared that his desire is that such and such should be done, now there becomes a concept of yiras ha'inish. Now the concept of einish first comes into the picture, whereby once I've declared, once you know that I'm the man in charge, I'm the one in power, and I've declared that I want things done in such a way, you can safely assume that if you don't do it the way I want, if I'm in a position of power, I will punish you. And that thought, the thought that there exists a power that can punish if you don't conform with his desire, that thought is what imposes a fear upon people. The concept of yiras ha'inish. Rabbi Nizal just showed how the whole union of einish can only come into being when there's a hisgalus of the rotzayin of Hashem. Whereas, then there's reward and punishment, and it's conceivable to be afraid of Hashem. As the Gemara says, the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was very afraid. What concept made Yaakov Avinu afraid? The Gemara says, Omar, he said, Shemo Yikar Machet. He was afraid that maybe a sin of his would cause that he wouldn't be able to get good things from Hashem, that Hashem would punish him. So we see that what caused the Vayira, the Shemo Yigroim Hachet, that maybe he would go against, maybe he did a sin, which he went against the will of Hashem, and that will cause a penalty to come upon him. So it's only when there's a revelation of the will of Hashem that we first understand that there could exist the concept of a penalty for going against that. But when this concept is not revealed, when the world is not aware that Hashem is conducting and controlling everything all by himself, without any outside force involved whatsoever, without being guided whatsoever by any power of nature, sheyesh the savrim, and people think sheyesh chivat heva chas v'shalom, and people are under the mistaken impression that there is a power of nature that dictates what should be done, okilu misnayin hakoyal piyat heva chas v'shalom, and people think that everything is being guided chas v'shalom by mother nature or daddy nature, whatever they want to call it, then ein shayach yira klal. Once that thought is presented into the world, that there's no Hashem supervising every single movement that takes place, but that there is this guiding force that's just set into motion and causes everything to happen, the pendulum swings, you know, that whole bit. Once you believe that, then there's no concept of real fear of Hashem. Ki ein schar avoinish klal chas v'shalom. Because then you do away with the concept of reward and punishment. Reward and punishment is only if there is a creator, and he said, and the only reason why the sun shines in the morning is because he said it should shine, because he said it should shine, and if he said I should put on tzitzis and I don't, then I'm going to get pech, etc., etc. That's when you can believe in the whole concept of reward and punishment. But if you believe in a power of nature and things are guided by nature, your whole concept of fear of Hashem is weak, or it's zero, chas v'shalom. Me'achar sha'akol misnayik rak efi chiyuv ha'teva, chas v'shalom. Once you accept the fact that everything is guided by nature, it's understood, rachmona l'slan, that you have no fear of Hashem. Nimtza. So what do we see from this? She'ikar ha'yira al yidei hizgalos ha'rotzayim. That the main concept of being zeichet to a fear of Hashem is only via a hizgalos of the rotzayim of Hashem. That's what brings about a fear. When the revelation of the Rotzon of Hashem is being squelched, it's being compressed or hidden, it's very hard for the world to be filled with a fear of Hashem. Proof is, look at all the different times that we find the Torah testifies that the people were filled with fear. What was one of the most fantastic revelations of the Rotzon of Hashem? Matan Torah, Har Sinai. Hashem revealed his 613 Ritzonos. What does the Pasuk say? Vayiru ha'mes Hashem. People were filled with tremendous fear. When again did Hashem show clearly that he was in charge, that the sun doesn't have to rise every morning, that the water doesn't have to be water, that water could be turned into blood, then blood into water, and darkness over here and light over here? By Yetzias Mitzrayim, those miracles, what does it say? Vayiru ha'mes Hashem. That's what imposed the fear. Every time we find a revelation of the Rotzayin of Hashem coming out into the open, where the world is shown that there is no calm force of nature controlling the guidance and destiny of everything that happens, but that there is a Hashem who's supervising every single movement of every single cockroach in this world, and Hashem determining how every single thing moves, and whether a person blinks his eye 59 times in a minute or 58 times in a minute is being dictated by Hashem kaviyachol. When a person is zeichet to see that, to see the revelation of the Ratzon of Hashem, that's what places a fear of Hashem upon the person. This is what Rabbeinu Zal establishes as fact over here.
One more question.
Right.
Doesn't take any physical attributes as well.
Right.
And we still use kaviyachol.
That's because without that we would have no way of discussing in any way the actions of Hashem. Because we are human beings and we're limited to being able to understand something by drawing a picture for ourselves, therefore it's very, very difficult for us to be able to communicate, about Hashem in any way other than if Hashem gave us this fantastic favor of allowing us to be able to discuss him in a concept of a physical being.
Yeah.
The hand of Hashem, the anger of Hashem, the...
Yeah, I realize that when we put that hand of the anger of Hashem, we see Baviyakul.
Right.
But we say that Hashem dictates a movement.
Right.
That's also Baviyakul.
Nothing to do with physical, of course. That the Rotzon of Hashem is what determines whether the leaf moves or stays still or anything.
See, I've his Torah to establish the how to create a tzimor, how to create a vessel in which this chesed can pour down in a controlled way?
How could you ask that question without completing the Torah? Once we learn the whole Torah from the beginning to the end, we'll try to see what he started with, what he finished with, and if there is one objective that he's trying to come across with, or if he's presenting a whole culture, a whole civilization from beginning to end possible. I once heard that term used by one of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, that each Torah Nekudamar is like a whole culture, literally. The term culture, it's like a whole civilization, it's a whole panorama describing everything in Avodas Hashem from A to Z. And when we finish this story, you're going to see how broad the concepts described here are.
I was asking you in the context, because it seems that by tying into Hashem's rotzal, which creates the fear,
right,
which creates the vessel, which a person could channel that chesed,
right.
So
but how do you do that? How do you tie into the Ratzon of Hashem?
Through Yira.
No, we just said that the way to get to Yira is by seeing a revelation of the Ratzon of Hashem. Right? Isn't that what we said here? So now the question is, how do I get to that? When or how or what or where is this his galus or Ratzon of Hashem? Stay tuned for the next paragraph. It's going to be the next paragraph, obviously, right? Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hizgalus harotzayin hu al yedei yomim toiv hu al yedei yomim toivim." The revelation, this thing that we just spoke about, this manifestation of the rotzayin of Hashem, is through the yomim toivim, the holidays of the Jews. That's when there is this major manifestation of the rotzayin of Hashem. Ki kol echod mehayomim toivim machriz v'koyre u'megale es harotzayin. Each and every single one of the holidays of the Jews proclaims and cries out, calls out, and reveals the Rotzayin of Hashem, meaning, when we say the Rotzayin of Hashem, what do we mean? Meaning, Shehakol Misnaheg Rak Al Yedei Rotzayinei Bilvad. Each one of the holidays affirms to us, and confirms to us, and reaffirms to us, that everything in this world is guided and dictated to purely by Hashem. Bebechinas, as we find the term used in the Torah about the holidays, Mikra Kodesh, that the holidays are a proclamation of holiness. They proclaim the holiness of Hashem. Shehayontif Kodesh, the holy yontif, Kore, it proclaims, it calls out, Umachriz, and announces, Es Harotzayim, the will of Hashem. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Ki b'chol yontif v'yontif, Oso Hashem Yisporach imonu oisois neirois. On each and every single holiday that the Jews keep, the reason why this day is declared as a holiday is because on that day Hashem performed some unique type of miracle, an awesome type of miracle. Sheheim hipuch hateva, which is the opposite of nature. Shayidei zeh nizgale horotzoin. That's what causes a revelation that people come to realize that everything that happens in this world happens only because Hashem wants it to happen. Ve'ein shum chiyuv hateva klal, and there is no necessity, there is no concept, there is no force of nature whatsoever. B'Pesach, on the holiday of Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have the miracle of the Jews being taken out of Egypt. Shehitzionu miMitzrayim ba'oisois neirois, that Hashem took us out of Egypt with incredible, wondrous miracles. Miracle! The opposite of nature. Nature was put in the garbage can. B'Shavuos, on the holiday of Shavuos, Matan Torah, the act of Hashem giving the Torah to the Jews. Shenosan lanu haTorah ba'oisois neirois. The Torah was given to us with wondrous miracles. What were some of the miracles? The mountain was picked up, the Har Sinai was picked up, the Jews were able to hear lightning and see thunder, plus many, many others. The Medrash describes many, many miracles that took place on Mount Torah. That's why we have the holiday of Shavuos, because this was a day on which there was a revelation of this Rotzayin of Hashem. Hashem proved to the world conclusively that he's in charge, that he can determine at any point in time whether things flow along their merry way, or we just cause it to flip over and go the opposite or inside out, around any way Hashem wants.
B'Sukkos, on the holiday of Sukkos, Hekef Anani HaKovoid, the miracle of the Jews being surrounded by these seven clouds that took them, that went with them through the desert. What miracles were related to that?
Stopping arrows,
that when the Egyptians shot arrows at them, not just stopping them, but doing a reverse on them, causing the arrows to turn around and head back to the Egyptians. What other miracles? Okay, that snakes were kept outside of the boundary of the
Clothing.
Clothing. But it's a pasuk, b'simoy onon levusha, is something like, huh? Excuse me? Right, but I'm thinking of another pasuk, something onon levusha, that something with the clouds. That kaviyochol, part of the miracle of the clouds was that they served, in a sense, as the clothing of the Yidden. The Yidden never had to change their clothes whatsoever. Their clothing grew on them and was washed and pressed and everything and laundered and tailored and customized while they were wearing it. That was part of the miracle of the clouds, of these Zion Anani HaKovoy. Kovoy, Rabbi Yochanan Korile Lamane Mechabuse. The clothing of a person is his Kovoy. That was these Anani HaKovoy. Valkane, and therefore, Kol Yomtoiv Machriz Vekoireyes Harotz. Each and every single holiday of the Jews proclaims this Ratzon of Hashem, Bebechinas Mikra Kodesh. Now we understand the definition of a term that we heard millions of times in Chumash and in the Davening, Mikra Kodesh Hielachem. Mikra means proclamation. What are we proclaiming on a holiday? We're proclaiming this doing away with Teva, that Kaviyochol Hashem is in charge, and there's no concept of teva, there's no concept of nature being in control of things. Valkein hayomim tovim nikroim regel. This is why we find, again, interesting coincidence, that one of the nicknames that's given to the Jewish holidays, especially, specifically, these three, is Shalosh Regolim, the 3 feet. Why feet? Because we said before that foot is a concept of fear. Seif dover hakel nishmas alakim yirei. Regel shehu bechinas yira. Through Yomtiv, which is a revelation of the Rotzayin of Hashem, that everything in this world is controlled by the Rotzayin of Hashem, through that is created fear of Hashem, which means that one of the best times for a person to daven to Hashem, to be zeichet, the fear of Hashem, is on these three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Shalosh Pomim Bashono, Yeroe means to be seen. Yeroe means fear, as we're going to see soon. Pa'omim, pa'omov, that means the feet. Raglan, Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain. Now again, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg of this chapter. This chapter is so fantastic. We're going to have so many things defined for us and clarified. The concept of Yom Tov. Now I understand something that I didn't understand before completely. Why the holiday? In other words, what's the message in the holiday for each year? What's it supposed to do for me as far as bringing me closer to Hashem, as far as making me more alert, reminding me about the greatness of Hashem? In what way? In remembering. Now Sukkot is coming. I'm supposed to remember that this is what took place, that 2,000 years ago, this and this happened, that Hashem proved on this and this day that there was no destiny guiding anything, baloney, there was no destiny, no nature, that Hashem at one day decided to make a fantastic miracle whereby there was no need for tailors and launderers, this, that. Hashem set up these 7 clouds which control the whole clothing of a person and clothed him and provided for him and protected him and everything. And just as Hashem did this then, we believe b'emunah shleimah that every single year on this holiday, there is a hischatshus of this power. Every single year when this holiday rolls around, this miracle, the power of this miracle, is aroused again, and those who want to hook into it can draw on it. How? Through tefillah, through the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, through eating in the sukkah,